Not bad, my friend.
Thank you, Webster. Thank you, team. What a wonderful worship this morning.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, could you just pray with me real quick? Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit of God in the midst of us this morning, Lord Jesus, that the Word of God may become flesh and it may dwell among us this morning and get in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts, as Webster was sharing this morning, that we wouldn't leave the same, God, that we'd have an encounter with your Spirit and we'd discover more of what you've given us, Lord, in your Son, Jesus Christ, today, that we may walk 2016 by faith and not by sight, by your Holy Spirit and the goodness that you've given us, Lord Jesus. Just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Good morning. Good morning. Well, with New Year's comes what? What do we all have at New Year's time?
Resolutions.
So, of course, I looked up the word resolutions, and it says the act of finding an answer or solution to a conflict or problem. The act of resolving something, an answer or solution to something. I like that, resolution. And one of the most important things I believe that we can resolve in our life is the things that we deal with in our own heart, amen? I think God's getting to the reality of our deep, deep heart things. And 2015 has been anything that I've gone through. It's been really a challenge in my own very heart, amen? Challenge to love well, a challenge to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I want those things in my life, amen? I bet you do too. I want love, I want joy, I want peace, amen? And I thought this year, there are many things that we walk through, and there's many things that we walk through life and stuff, and we're looking for these things in our life. And in 2015, I really was challenged to find a deeper connection with the Lord. I really was challenged to walk in the love of God. How much does God love you? You know, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth walking inside of us. And that's what it was in 2015, kind of for me, was God was shaking things in my life. And the shift was a tremendous conference, people. You know, I shared a little bit on it last time I spoke, and we have the DVDs and everything. But when God speaks to us as a people, I think it's so important that we get a hold of it and we do what needs to be done, amen? And we need to be intentional. You know, what are you intentional about? What am I intentional about? What does that mean? This morning you were intentional about showing up and coming to church. You started your car. You did some things to get into the position that you needed to get into to come to church. You took the intention to do it. I have to be intentional to receive something that I believe we all long and desire for. Don't we? We have to be intentional, and we have to do a work to get that in our lives, and we have to be intentional. We have to dig for it. We have to long for it, amen? So I'd like to read a scripture that we shared in Hebrews, Hebrews 12, 26, and 29. And I want to read this, and my wife just showed me this morning. It's just a tremendous, it's called the Mirror Bible. It's just talking about shaking and shifting. And I want to read from this Mirror Bible because it's just so descriptive in its reading. So I'm going to start here. And I know it's a little bit of a long reading, but please bear with me. It says, if Jesus is the crescendo of God's final message to mankind, you cannot afford to politely excuse yourself from this conversation. Consider the prominent place that Moses plays in the history of Israel. If you think that Moses or any other of the prophets who spoke with authority on earth deserve honor, how much more should this word that God declared from the heaven concerning our sonship and our redeeming innocence revealed in the Messiah himself deserve our undivided attention? When he introduced the prophetic shadow of what was to come, the law system, his voice visibly shook the earth. But now the Messiah has come, and he is the desire of the nations. He is what heaven and earth were waiting for, the voice of God, articulated in Christ's birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection, has rocked not only the system on earth, but also every unseen principality in heaven to the very foundation. In the words of the prophet, yet once more I will shake every unstable system of man's effort to rule himself. God clearly indicates his plan to remove the old and replace it with the new. The second shaking supersedes any significant in the first shaking. Then it was a physical quaking of the earth. Now, the very foundation of every man's system was shaken to the core, while the heavens were impacted by the announcement of his permanent rule on earth. It is mirrored in heaven. Amen. We are fully associated in an immovable kingdom, an authority that cannot be challenged or contradicted. The participation echoes grace, and not of the law inspired obedience as we accommodate ourselves to the delight, yielding in the awe to its firm embrace. The Word. His jealousy over us burns like a fire. Man, there's a lot there. I don't mean to overrun you with a bunch of reading this morning. But God really wants to rock our system. He really wants to rock our system, the things that we've been entrusting to bring our joy, to bring our peace. Because in every single one of us, we have this desire to belong, right? I want to belong. I have this desire to be significant. I have this desire to be secure. And when he came, when our Messiah came, he changed everything. Amen. He changed everything. Before it was the law, and it was all about our behavior and what we did. It was consuming us, or where we go and what we do. But God, he sent his Son, and it changed everything. He opened up the windows of heaven that we could come by an invitation of grace and experience the pure joy, the pure love that only God can give. He did that for us. And it rocks everything. It rocks our whole world system. Because before Christ, we all have this desire, and we try to fill this desire with something. Belong, security. I remember as a kid, you know, you always want to figure out what's right and is acceptable to your parents, right? Because if you don't, you get kind of scared. Because if you don't do what's right and acceptable, what happens? You get beat up, right? And that's not always a good feeling. So at a young age, we learn about what's right and what's acceptable. And we try to follow the rules. And at a young age, you try to follow the rules to be accepted. And I remember as a kid, I was at somebody's house, and I had this toy car. And I could take this toy car, and I could break it. I could take it apart, and I could put it back together. And at my home, this was acceptable. But when I went to this other man's house, the kid had toys, right? And I took it and I broke it open. And the guy looked at me and he said, the father, I don't remember, but I remember seeing this big guy looking down at me and he goes, look what you did now, you broke it. And I cried. I did. I cried, and it created an emotion of me. It says, you know what? What I just did was not acceptable in that place. And it devastated me. And we all have this longing to be accepted, to belong. So why? So that we could be secure and safe. And what Jesus did on the cross, he changed this whole thing. He changed the whole game. Paul says continually in the New Gospels, he says, don't you know Christ is in you? Do you know that Christ is in you? It says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to whether you are in the faith. Test, do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? This rocks our world. This changes everything. Because before it was based on what I can do, but now he said, and as I was reading, it's about a new creation that's inside of me. Amen? Yes. Do you believe, do you understand the born-again experience? Amen? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yeah. We get shaken to the very foundations of what we put around us to try to keep us safe and secure. But the truth is, God says it's not about what we put around us anymore. It's not about your behavior anymore. It's what I've made you in me in Christ Jesus. Come on. As we were reading, it's about sonship. You actually become a son of God when you become born again. You become his son. And you are accepted by him, by Christ Jesus. You are. The sin isn't the problem anymore. You know, a question that Graham Cook, if you ever heard of Graham Cook, he asked, he says, was Jesus punished enough on the cross? And I thought this too. I thought, you know, why is he asking this question? Was Jesus punished enough on the cross? Yes, he was. He was punished enough. So God's not, it's not about punishment anymore. God's not, there's no more punishment. It's not about punishment anymore. About what you believe. Because in my environment at home as a young child, I believed that was I was fine, right? But if I believed that that was not an acceptable action, it started creating in me insecure feelings, emotions, things like that, well, I must be doing something wrong. Because obviously there was a response that caused me to feel that way. What is acceptable? When you go to school, what is acceptable, guys? You know? For acceptance, what do I have to do? I have to be a good student. I have to be good at sports, right? So we learn at a young age that I have to be these things in order to be accepted by my teacher, you know? And if not, I get put in different situations. And here's the dilemma, guys. We learn this at a very young age, but that's not the way God sees us. We got to get that. You know, we got to get that in our hearts. It's not the way that God sees you. He says, well, it's not about you. Well, I screwed up, God, obviously. I get pushed out. It's not how God sees you. He's not pushing you out. Why? Because what Christ did was enough. What Christ did was enough to take care of that. Understand? It was enough to take care of that. It's enough to take care of that. So he's not holding your behavior against you. You know, we as a society are pretty mean because we hold people's behaviors. We tend to hold our past behaviors against each other. We do. Unintentionally, sometimes we do. And we say it, and we speak it into our loved ones. You know, there they go again. She always does this. He always does that. Come on. And you do it unintentionally. We do that to each other. But never was such the kingdom of God that way anymore. It's a game changer what Christ did for you. He's not sitting up there and saying, oh, they're just going to blow it, right? He's not doing that. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you became his son and his daughter. Now, I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot about love because of my Father, God in heaven. And he's shown me how to reflect that in my children. When my children screws up, you know, I can do a lot of different things. But what we need to do as parents is create an environment, cultures, where our children are safe to make screw-ups, where they know that their screw-up isn't going to define who they are. Because that's not going to change you. That's not going to change. That's not the game changer, is your mistake. That's not who you are. We became born again because of what we believed in Christ Jesus, and we received it freely, and that's who you are. And though you make a mistake, that doesn't change who you are. Your behavior does not change who you are. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became his son. It does not change who you are if you make a mistake. You do not get kicked out of heaven if you make a mistake. And in that atmosphere and in that understanding and in that belief, I am free to love the Lord. I am free to come in his presence. I'm not thinking of myself, well, today, last week, I did this. Last week, I did that. I did this. Now, man, I'm just a mess. Who told you that? Who's speaking to you? Who's telling you you're a failure? Who's telling you that because of your behavior, something's wrong with you? Come on, who's telling you that? God never told you that. He never said that to you. And that's what gets shaken in us. And when we grow up, we create these environments around us that we try to stay safe. Whether it's in relationships, whether it's in the groups, you know, peoples that we're in, we want to just feel safe. We want to feel secure in our environment. And what God is doing is he's creating in us, he created in us, in Christ Jesus, that access to what? The Holy Spirit, to his kingdom inside of us. So no matter where I'm at, I have access to what? His love, his joy, his peace. And all the stuff around me be going crazy, right? Right? And I can have access to that. It says in his word, in Colossians 3:12, he says, therefore, you know, we have to answer these questions. You know, I want to belong, I want to be significant, and I want to be secure. And in Colossians 3:12, it says, as God's chosen people, we're chosen. You belong. God chose you. You belong. He chose us. He has a place for us. Amen? You belong. When you are holy, you know you're significant. Amen? And when you are loved, you know you are secure. Wow. God's chosen people, holy, beloved. And in our lives, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there's no law. It's not the fruit of my hands. It's not the fruit of how many classes I took. It's not the fruit of how many hours I spent in prayer. It's not the fruit. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Come on. And I so much desire that in my life. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? And we need to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. Because the truth of the matter, the fact is, what has happened inside of me is that I have all the righteousness that I will ever get right now. I'm not going to be any more righteous than I am right now. Tom, that's so righteous. You're not going to get any more righteous. And if you think you get more righteous by your behavior, then we have a wrong concept of what Christ did on the cross for us. Do you understand? Because let's just test that for a second. If you think your righteousness is based on your behavior, then you're going to be under fear. Why? What happens if my behavior doesn't line up? What happens to me then? I'm no longer righteous, and then I'm out of it. But the truth is, God shook the whole thing. He's a game changer. What did he do? He made you his son. And with that comes great inheritance in his kingdom, and that's who you are inside. So I have all the righteousness. I have all the holiness inside of me. It's there. The dilemma is this. I have grown up in an atmosphere, perhaps a culture, where it's based on what I do and not who I am. I'm accepted because I'm a good basketball player. I'm accepted because I'm a good worship leader. I'm accepted because I'm a good pastor. I'm accepted. It's all based on performance. You're a good coach if you win. Otherwise, you're a bad coach if you lose, right? It's all on performance. So if my performance doesn't match, I'm no longer loved. I'm no longer accepted. I no longer belong. And it's devastating. It promotes a spirit of fear. It promotes a spirit of anxiety in us. And those things are being shaken out of us. Because your performance is, you know, your performances are failing. My this is failing. Yet the love of God is surrounding me, right? I see my failures. I see my inadequacies. I see those things. And it's he doesn't see those. They're not a problem to him anymore. They're a problem to us. Because the cross took care of every single, I'm telling you guys, the cross has taken care of every one of your sin issues. So to him, it's not a sin issue right now. It's a belief issue. What do you really believe? If you really believe that your sin is that your mistake yesterday has separated you from the love of God, then it is going to. If you believe that your performance as a teacher, as a pastor, as a father, as a mother, is keeping you from receiving the love that you're supposed to receive, then it will. Come on. And God is so much wanting us to get a hold of who he is and who we are in him. He's wanting us to get us to the core that you are loved. You are my beloved. You are loved. I love you. My spirit is in you. I love you. I desire. I made it available. You are a holy and wonderful person that I see. And all these attachment things need to be broken off of us. And they get shaken. Because what worked doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? And in 2015, there were patterns and things that just didn't bring peace anymore. So something's got to change, and we get that in our hearts. We get that something has to change in my life. Something has to change in my life. And the truth is, when God is inside of me, when Christ is inside of me, I have everything in there, but it's all in my transformation. What do I believe, really? What do I really, truly believe about what Christ did in my life? What do I really believe? Because it's got to come out. And in 2016, when we want to make a resolution, I got the solution to the answers. It's in here. I have to figure out. I have to access that. I need to desperately seek the Lord Jesus so that I discover who I am in Christ.
Amen.
You need to know. You need to know who you are in Christ. You don't change because you change locations. You don't change because you change your environment. You don't change because you leave this country and go somewhere else. That doesn't bring change. Never has, never will. Your behavior doesn't bring change from the inside. It doesn't. It was Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, who took everything, all that was set against us, and he removed it. And he said, it's not about your behavior anymore. It shook the core. It shook the heavens and the earth because it wasn't about behavior anymore. It was about who you are.
Amen.
It's about who you are. You're my daughter. You're my son. I'm accepted totally in Christ Jesus. I am.
Amen.
I am totally loved.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And I need that in my life because it reflects here to here to here to here and out. It helps me do relationships a lot better. Amen? So it's a born-again experience. It's an encounter. Amen? And Peter McHugh went through this scripture, which is a fantastic scripture. In Romans 14, 15, he said, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things in this way are acceptable to God and approved by man. It says receives. It's not about your behavior. It says the kingdom of God is not eating, drinking, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit? 25 push-ups. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? How did you receive Christ? Man, you guys, you received it. This is amazing. This is really hard for us to grasp, that it would be this easy. Are you kidding me? That it's this easy? Is it this easy? Yeah, we do make things more complicated because our culture and everything around us is based on performance. Everything. School, your life, everywhere. Work. You work, you get a job if you're good enough, right? And it gets tiring. I'm telling you what, it gets very tiring. It gets very tiring and I get exhausted trying to perform. But when we know that God has accepted us, that we are his sons and his daughters, amen? It blows our minds, and it's something that we need to grasp in our spirit. Amen? And I think the freedom of this fact is that we don't have to wait for others around us to change. We don't have to wait for other things around us to change. We can manage our world that we've created to change, but you decide whether or not to exercise our right as a son. I want to read a scripture again in John. In John 1, verse 12, it says, but as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Wow! To as many as received him, they gave him the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the amazing thing is we need to exercise our rights. Come on.
Right.
We need to exercise our rights. We need to exercise. I don't know what my right is. Do I have a right to joy? Do I have a right to God's love? Do I have a right to his peace? Do I have access to that? Do I have a right to that? If we think, because of all that we've gone through in life, the things that we've created, that we do not have a right to that because of my behavior, because of my failures, then we won't go there. But if I embrace the fact that God is not looking at these things, he's not looking at my performance, but he really is. The gospel, the kingdom of God doesn't come because of behavior. The kingdom of God is a gospel of acceptance and that what we received. That's how the kingdom of God comes into my life. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's what I have received, it's what I believed. Amen? I hear this, it's like, I'm tired of my old life. And you get tired of your own life and the old ways, and you're trying to take up the new ways, and there's a conflict there. You know, there's a conflict in there. And when we have that conflict, when we have that conflict in our lives, the Lord is trying to show us, He's really trying to show us what He's made available to us. You know, I've battled so long with such and such, and I just really want peace. I really want joy. I want the situation to change. And we tend to get so busy. I don't know about you, but I can get so busy trying to make something happen. I really can. And I fall into a little bit of works there, trying to make this thing happen. Trying to bring people together, trying to accomplish this. You know, as a pastor, you know, you want to see people healed, you want to see people touched, you want to see people come to church. I mean, really, you do. And if they don't come to church, am I a failure? I mean, that's one of the things that we can struggle with as a pastor, is how many people are you touching? How many people are you actually affecting in life? And Peter McHugh shares something that really, it touched me, because he would find himself, and I'm sharing this because he shared it, that he would find himself in a fetal position, just awake through the night, worrying about who was going to show up at church the next day. And I can relate a little bit about that, because I was putting something on myself because of the way, and it's not like my parents made me this way, but it's just the culture is that your success is defined by of how many people you influence or how many people come to church as a pastor. And then it's my performance. And if I don't measure up to that performance, I'm a failure. I'm not accepted. I'm not loved. There's something wrong with me. And it emotionally affects me. I don't have peace. I don't have love. I don't have joy. But when the kingdom of God is about acceptance, is that I'm accepted because of what He did for me and what I received. Amen? That one thing I'm mostly concerned about, and what I'm really is the Holy Spirit here. Is God here? Is Christ here? Is the love of God in this house? Amen. Then I'm free. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be free. I want to be, and if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. I'm telling you, as a son and a daughter, you're free. You have a right to be free. When Christ died on the cross, all those things that were against us, it said, as I was reading, that they were dead, they were buried, the life, and it comes back, the resurrection and the newness of life, is that, that's what I have now inside of me. That's what I have now inside of me, and this is my right, is that I have a right to the Holy Spirit. I have a right to be fully submerged, be fully baptized into what God had died for my life. I have a right to that. He made it because of what I've received. Not because of what I've done. The kingdom of God is so powerful, but it's, I gotta find my notes here. For the kingdom of God is about what I have received and not what I'm trying to do. The kingdom of God is what I've become when I was born again and not what I'm trying to achieve. The kingdom of God is about what's already inside of me. Amen. Amen. So what my desire is, one of the things that God commanded us to do, He said, this is the new commandment. Peter McHugh touched on this a little bit, is this is the new commandment that I've given to you, is that you love one another as I have loved you. And that challenged me, because we have the other commandment, which is to love one another as you love yourself, but He challenged us to love one another as He loved us. Amen? And there's such great freedom in that. Because I don't have to withhold my love from you just because your behavior is contrary to what I think is acceptable. Come on. I don't. Because what I've found out in my life is when I begin to withhold love from people, I find myself reserving to performance. And then I start thinking about this people. Someone needs to talk to that person and correct that person. And it really unstable. Again, it's not the kingdom of God inside of me. It's not about that new life anymore. It's about that old life. the way I used to think and doesn't bring peace in my life. It drives me crazy. But when I begin to love unconditionally people, regardless of what they choose to do, I'm free. I really am free. And if you choose to do that, because you received this, I am so thankful that my God in heaven didn't sit back and watch me struggle with my performance and say, you know what? I'm just going to wait till he gets his act together. And then I'm going to start loving him more. I'm going to wait until this person starts getting his things straightened out, and then I'm going to love him more. And that's going to inspire him to become better. Right? And somehow we think that works here, you know? That I will withhold my love from you, and that will teach you a lesson, and then you will behave. We do that to each other. We do that to our wives. Do that to their husbands. I'm going to wait until you behave or you get in line before I'm going to love you. And that's the crazy cycle. We talked about circles. That's a crazy circle. Because then he's going to withhold from you, and you're going to withhold from him, and it's just going to keep on getting worse. Right? It is going to turn into a whirlwind. But the act of what Christ did on the cross was this. Regardless of what you choose to do, regardless of the choices you desire to make, I'm going to take the ultimate price for you. I'm going to die for you, whether you choose to receive it or not. I'm going to die for you, whether you choose to receive it or not, whether you choose to love me or not. I'm going to do that. And that was the kind of love that Christ had for us. But it is so liberating, amen? It is so rejuvenating. It sets us free because it gives us an assignment and something that we can do. We can reach out inside of us, something that's beyond just behavioral. Because I don't know about you, but I get so tired of trying to analyze what everybody's doing. Right? Well, you're doing this, and you're doing that, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. He talked about the hub. The hub is the center, is the love of God. And all this other stuff will come out. You know, when you love God, when people love God, they're going to want to come to church. You know what I mean? And you get to come to church. Instead of you have to come to church. When you love the Lord, you just... When you know that you are chosen and you belong and dearly loved, right? You're secure, you're safe. And that's the experience that the culture that we would want everybody here to have in the church and where we're at. We are to be making, we are meant to be doing is creating cultures where we actually release people to become who they are in Christ. To discover who they are in righteousness of Jesus Christ. To discover the peace of God and discover the joy of Jesus. Come on. Amen? It's not about me trying to change your behavior. When you discover who you are in Christ Jesus, when you discover his love for you, when you discover his peace and joy, when you discover that, the rest of the stuff will take care of itself. Why am I so passionate about getting you to church? Why am I so passionate about you getting the word? What am I so passionate about the love of God in your life? Because when you get that, all these other things will fall in place. But if your love grows cold, and if your love grows cold for people and all this stuff, then all this stuff becomes works, and it becomes things like that, and external things. But when the love of God is inside you, there's such great freedom and liberty just to love one another. Amen? And I do appreciate that in this house. I appreciate men and women who have labored so long. And it's a labor of love, really, because some of our behavior hasn't been too good. You know? But it's not about our behavior. It's about the assignment. It's about the love of God that we've been called to do a work. You know, I'm not judging your behavior. I'm not. As a child, I know that I maybe wasn't always the best child, believe it or not. Do you? Yeah. I just... Danny, that reaction... kind of hurt a little bit. It's not. I've been loved here. Come on. I've been loved here. I haven't done everything right. I know I haven't. But I've been loved here. And it's made a tremendous difference in my life. People didn't hold my behaviors against me, but they really did love me because of the love of God in their life. I needed that. Somebody could have held that against me, hold my wrongs and that, and put it in my face, and it really would have been tough for me. But you didn't do that. And I am so grateful. I want to honor Pastor Jake and Sandy for standing with me so long. I wasn't always, I wasn't always this person, because it took a while for me to discover things, and I'm still on a journey. I won't say that I'm not. But I needed men and women in my life who had the love of God that would demonstrate it to me. But it wasn't based on my performance. It wasn't based on having my act together. But it was a genuine desire to see Christ rise up inside of me. Amen. To see me discover who I really am in Christ Jesus. Because that's what I need. That won't get shaken. That can never be taken from me. And that's my desire for every single one of you in this place right now. Is that you would discover the ultimate in Christ Jesus and who you are. So would you stand this morning? I thank the Lord for a great atmosphere in the presence of the Lord here this morning. I really want to give Him honor and glory. Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for all that You've done doing in our lives. And the Spirit of God that comes, that we receive, not because of what we've done, but because of really who You are. And God, I ask for the rest of the year and all that goes before us, God, that we would discover the total, complete work that You've done inside of us, and that all we need is in us, Lord. And as we discover that, we can grow, and we can share, and we can love. So I ask, Holy Spirit, for this day. This is the day that You have made, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it, Father God, because this is Your day, and this is Your life, and this is what You give us. So we thank You, God, for Your word. We thank You for all that You're doing, and have a blessed day and a blessed year. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Amen.